do. And for that reason, since you didn't know, I'm going to read them all to you, and you'll see why. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, first of all. Well, if you didn't know that easy question, what if I asked you the references where the six prominent saints of God are mentioned? And so we'll just read in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's look at verse 5. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and art not thou ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in thy hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Didst not thou, O our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever, and so forth, and so on? Did you not give it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Isaiah 41. And we'll look at other scriptures, but I want to read these three references. Now, in Isaiah chapter 41, look at verse, the Lord is speaking in this verse. But thou, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend, thou whom I have taken hold of from the ends of the earth, and called from the corners thereof, and said unto thee, thou art my servant. I have chosen thee and not cast thee away. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And now James chapter 2. Look at verse 22. You see that faith worked with Abraham's works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, look at verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, in that he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? It says, the scripture was fulfilled. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that we are able to sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. We have heard from a servant, as the scripture does speak, an old believer, an old saint in Christ. We are thankful for those who have known him from their youth. We are thankful for babes in Christ, and we are thankful for those who can testify to thy faithfulness through their lifelong journey on earth. And so, Father, continue to bless all of these, and may they cry unto thee, as the one cried of old, forsake me not in my old age, cast me not away when my hair is gray. So, Father, bless them in their old age, and let them bring forth fruit in their old age, and bless us this night, as we have read of one of your choice servants. Cleanse us from our sins, because we confess them. You have promised to be faithful and just, to forgive and cleanse, and prepare the hearts of those who listen, and empower the lips of him who speaks. And bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Is it not strange that you nowhere read in the history of Abraham of his being called the friend of God? And yet, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, one of the good kings of Israel, in praying to his God, speaks about Abraham, thy friend. I could tell you other things that Abraham was called. Abraham was called a prophet, and Abraham also was called various designations that I cannot dwell on tonight, but here are designations that Abraham was called and known by, like we could call Abraham the warrior of God, because he was the one that went out and rescued his nephew Lot. And we could call him the intercessor with God, and yet all of these things are not mentioned, but the Bible designates him as the friend of God. And I told you of these other men, and I have to give you just a brief review, because God, in selecting certain saints to mention, those that are among his choice saints that excel in certain categories, Abraham is the one that he says, Abraham is my friend. But then he talks about those that are his prophet, his priests. He talks about those that are his intercessors, those that stand before him. He talks about those that are his righteous ones. And because of that, one man may excel especially in one area and be left out in the other. But I started talking to you about Abraham the first time as the intercessor of God. And we may have a chance to see that he also intercedes elsewhere. But God says, I'm not talking about Abraham the same as I'm talking about Moses and Samuel. In the case of Abraham, I'm calling him my friend. Moses and Samuel, I'm calling them my intercessors. And Noah, Job, and Daniel, I'm calling my righteous ones. So God is he who does these things. He looks down among his followers, and then he places these names in the scripture by which to remember his choice saints. And so he says, Abraham, my friend. Yet, you nowhere find in the history of Abraham that God ever called him friend, and only later do we find him called the friend of God in Isaiah, and find a king calling him the friend of God, and then finding a New Testament author also calling him the friend of God. Now, each designation is significant in the context, because when Jehoshaphat is praying to God, the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming with a great army to destroy Israel, and Jehoshaphat starts praying to God, and he reminds God of his promises. Do you ever pray that way? Do you ever lay hold on a promise that God has made and remind him of it? It's wonderful to reason with God. And you find that the Old Testament saints do. And Jehoshaphat, in pleading for God's deliverance, he says this, you promised the land to the seed of Abraham, your friend. You made that promise. You promised the land forever. And God hears that prayer, and God answers that prayer. So, here is significance in the fact that a king remembers a promise that God made, and he holds God for that promise. God likes to be held to promises. Do you ever hold God to a promise? He likes that. God at times says, command me. And anything that God has promised, he is prepared to be held to. And anything that he's promised at the end of your life, this is what Christ said. He said to his disciples, he said, when I sent you forth with nothing material to depend on, did you lack anything? And they said, nothing. And we've heard a testimony tonight. And God's promises, when they are given to us, they are promises that God keeps, and every promise that God has ever made shall ultimately be fulfilled. And that is what Jehoshaphat reminds God of. And God hears that prayer, and he remembers his promise, and he sends forth his power, and the enemies are overcome. All right, that is Jehoshaphat. He speaks about Abraham, God's friend, but he says, the seed of Abraham, thy friend. And that is what I want to talk to you about. for a moment, very briefly, not Abraham, your friend. He says, the seed of Abraham, your friend. What does it mean? It means that here are some that God never calls his friend. They are unworthy of the friendship of God. And yet, he says, they are the seed of Abraham, thy friend. And this comes to mind. David, who was the closest friend to Jonathan, on one occasion was asking, is there any that is left of the house of Saul? And it was reported to him, yes, Jonathan hath a son who is lame in his feet, and his name is Mephibosheth. And it says twice in 2 Samuel that God's servant David showed kindness to Mephibosheth for the sake of Jonathan, his father. Now think, here is Mephibosheth. He had no credentials. He could serve David in no way. He could be no soldier. And yet David, because of his friendship with Jonathan, elevated him and gave him a place. He ate with the king continually. So those who speak about being brought up in a Christian family, there are blessings that flow through those who have gone before us. I'm wondering, I've told you this, but I found out that back 100 or more years ago, there were those from whom I am descended that were ministers of the gospel. And perhaps they prayed for their posterity, their children and grandchildren, and those that were to be born. And it may be that God lifted me up from the dunghill and answered to one of their prayers, and for the sake of one whose name I cannot tell you. It may be that God has shown me kindness and grace and elevation because of kindness through an ancestor of mine. And so this is what Jehoshaphat tells God about. He says, you had a friend named Abraham, and Abraham has seed, and you made a promise to Abraham. Now, O God, we're expecting you to keep that promise. And so the Bible not only speaks about blessings to us, but it speaks about blessings to the descendants of those who are friends of God. So this is the lesson that comes from Jehoshaphat. But while God is reminded of this in the prayer of Jehoshaphat, what God does in Isaiah 41, and this is the most important reference, how many people could I go around and say, oh yes, that man is my friend. And you go to the person and say, well, you know John Mills, don't you? John who? Of course I don't know him. My calling somebody my friend is one thing, but for the man of importance to call me his friend, that is another thing. And so Jehoshaphat said, Abraham, your friend. You know where to find Abraham called the friend of God. But when you come to Isaiah chapter 41, God himself speaks of Abraham, my friend. And then he says, because of this, and again, it's not Abraham, my friend. He says, the seed of Abraham, my friend. And just as in the case of Jehoshaphat pleading the promises to the seed of Abraham, his friend, God is talking to those seed, and he says to them, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to protect you, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And so here God acknowledges that Abraham was his friend, and the descendants of Abraham are going to be blessed simply because they are descended from Abraham. What could Mephibosheth say? He could say, Jonathan was my father. What claim do you have on David? Jonathan was my father. And as you think of the Israelites today, oh God, the only claim that they could have upon him would be that Abraham was their father. The only claim. But that's mentioned. But now, why I read you from James chapter 2, and this is most important. It gives us the reason that Abraham was called the friend of God. Did any brother detect that answer, the reason? Why was Abraham called the friend of God? Would any brother take a guess? I wouldn't be harsh on you if you were wrong. And if you got it nearly right, I would say yes. It says that Abraham offered up his son, his only son. And if you read the account in Genesis chapter 22, after he did it, the answer from heaven was, he's not withheld his son, his only son. I'm going to bless him. I'm going to fulfill every promise that I ever made to him. And in virtue of faith working, it says, and Abraham was called, notice, and the scripture was fulfilled, and Abraham was called the friend of God. So, there was a reason that Jonathan's heart was attached to David, and that's because David went out and he slew Goliath. And when he did, it said, the heart of Jonathan was knit to the heart of David, and he loved him as his own soul. And God graciously, for a reason known only to him, chose Abraham from among the nations. But after he offered his only son, Isaac, God said, now I have a reason for blessing him. So let me ask you this. Is there any reason that God would call you his friend? Is there? What have you done since he saved you by grace for no reason at all? We are saved by grace through faith. What have you done in fulfillment of that salvation by grace that would cause God to call you his friend? What have you done for God? What sacrifice have you made? Can God look upon you and see anything in you that would cause him to say, this one is my friend? He would call you his child, but that's grace. Nothing you've done. It's all Christ has done. But Abraham was called the friend of God because he gave back to God the thing most precious in his life. So keep these three scriptures in mind. Well, what then does the friendship of God guarantee? I will tell you three things that it guarantees. It guarantees reward and intimacy and protection. This is what it says in Genesis 15. I will tell you these things for the sake of time. After Abraham had wrought a victory, God came to Abraham, and he said, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What greater reward can any person have than God himself? That is why the Levites and the priesthood in Israel had no reward. God said to them, I am your reward. Now, would you accept that? Had you rather have all the material blessings of the world? Or would you rather hear the voice of God say, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward? God said, I give you myself. What more precious gift could God give us than himself? And that's what he said to Abraham. He said, I am your shield, that is his protection, and thy exceeding great reward. And he himself was the reward of Abraham. The friendship of God. All right. In chapter 18, you have the intimacy that is afforded a friend. You remember that when God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, as he was on the way to find out about these things, he said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am about to do, seeing he shall become a great and mighty nation? He will train up his children, command his household, and the way that they should go. And so here is a secret thing that God was going to do. And he told Abraham, now, this is what introduces something most precious. It's this. The responsibility that is associated with the intimacy of God. God said, Abram, he said, I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now that would be enough for me to know it and to flee for my life. But when Abraham had this intimate information as to what God was going to do because of the wickedness of man in these cities, it says he drew nigh unto God and he started praying. Tell me, do you do such a thing? If God told you some secret, I'm afraid what most of us would do would go around and boast and tell people things that we knew that they did not know. But what Abraham did, when he had this advance warning about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, Lord, he said, I have a petition. If you find 50 righteous in that city, will you save it? And I told you this a few weeks back. 50, and then 45, and 40, and 30, and he kept appealing to God to have mercy to save this city, Sodom and Gomorrah. For this reason, when a person is intimate with God, and you find special things that God reveals to you in His Word, it does not mean that you are to be puffed up. Now, we know we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. Love buildeth up. But if you have this intimate knowledge from God, if you know prophecy, if you know what's going to happen, if you have a sensitivity and you have an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, then it is your responsibility to tell Israel what they ought to do. And if judgment is imminent, you have a responsibility to cry unto God and to seek to withhold the wrath of God. But alas, some of us are like Jonah. You said your wrath is going to fall in 40 days. Could. I wish it were going to fall sooner. And Abraham hears God say, I'm going down and see about the wickedness in Sodom and Gomorrah. But Abraham cries to God for mercy. And so, what kind of saint are you? Are you one, when you hear of enemies that would do you harm, are you one who says, good, they deserve it? Or are you one, and remember, only Lot was a relative of Abraham. Lot and his family, the others in Sodom and Gomorrah, they were no kin to Abraham. And yet God is being interceded. Intercession is being made by Abraham for those that have no blood relation to him. This is Abraham. Now here's what I want to have you understand. It says also, now listen to God say it, and I want you to grasp the significance of it. He said in Jeremiah 15, he said, if Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my heart, my disposition, be toward this city. This is God that is speaking, and I want all of those that have Calvinistic leanings to understand that God said this. He said, if Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my disposition be toward this city. But I have seen in the Scriptures, I've seen in Exodus, and I've seen in the book of Samuel, when Moses stood before God, and God said, let me alone that I may destroy the whole nation. And Moses pleaded with God, and God said, I've answered you your request. Now, how can this be? When God says he's going to do a thing, unless it is something that God will no more repent of, there is power in one that is an intercessor, and God has special ones, and notice, some have more power of intercession than others. I wonder if he would take two of our names and say, with Brother John and Brother Jones, if they stood before me, my disposition would not be toward this city. You laugh at such a thing, and so do I. But God knew about Moses and about Samuel and their intercession. But at times, even those that have influence with God, God has to say, I don't want to hear you pray anymore. It was upsetting to Samuel when God decided to remove King Saul. And he was in the presence of God, talking to God about this thing. And God says, nope, my mind is made up. I'm going to remove this man. But it shows that there is an area in which men of the stature of Moses and Samuel can plead with God. And what God said he was going to do, God himself says that these things could be altered. And he gives examples of it. Nobody can comprehend that. You say, how can it be, when you've decided to do something, how can a feeble creature come and pray and you alter the thing that you say you're going to do? It is not necessary that I understand why or how. The thing that's necessary is that God himself says, if Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet would not my mind be toward this people. And yet there were times when Moses and Samuel, and notice, it's not Moses or Samuel, but if two of them join together, you remember in Matthew 18, if two of you shall agree, how desperate is the plight when men of the stature of Moses and Samuel join together and stand before God. God says, my mind would still not be toward this city. And so that's why we should pray while it's day. That's why we should call upon the Lord while it's day, walk while it's day, because the time cometh when no man can walk and when no man can pray. And the time had come when his wrath that was going to fall could not be averted even by the combined intercession of Moses and Samuel. And then that is a time that is to be dreaded. All right. I mentioned that because the intimacy with God requires you in turn to do something about that privileged information that you have. And I will add this. Who knew the way of God more perfectly, Apollos or Aquila and Priscilla? You say, well, Apollos was an eloquent man, but it said, this working couple, Aquila and Priscilla, knew the way of God more perfectly. And so what did they do when Apollos, an eloquent man, but he only knew the baptism of John, what did they do? They did not flaunt before him their superior knowledge, but they took him to their heart and taught him the way of God more perfectly. You see what this intimacy of God should cause us to do? If you know more than others, then instead of being puffed up about it, then you go and impart to others this information that intimacy with God has given you. And if you see that the judgment of God is going to fall, then intercede and cry to God. There may be an area in which God will repent of the evil that he said he was going to do, and there may be hope. And so these are some of the thoughts about the friendship of God, because some men are God's friends, and the friendship is not one that frees them from responsibility, but it places more responsibility upon them, and they live up to that responsibility. Abraham, the friend of God. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the truths in thy word that tell us that in this world of materialism, in this world in which you are so silent, still, you can speak to the heart of man through your word and through your spirit. And you have said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I am about to do? And our Father, still, in the secret way that is your following today, our God, your procedure, in that way you are able to reveal to men the scriptures, the future, thy mind. And we are thankful for this. We rejoice in it. But our God, we pray that knowing it, we shall react as Abraham did, and we shall pray as Aquila and Priscilla did. And our Father, we long to have you say of us, whatever our name is, this one is my friend. Let us be worthy of it. Thy Son has done everything for us. Let us at least do something of worth for thee. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.